Are you tired of being told what to think and how to act? Well, you are not alone. In case you haven't realized it, you have an internal GPS. It knows all you need to know about how to live your life. So it's about time you stopped letting the media and the government tell you what is true for you. In fact, it is exactly that time. It's time to think for yourself. And here to make sure you're doing just that is your host, mediator, author, and lawyer, Carol Gold.
Hi, it's Wednesday, October 27th. I'm Carol Gold, and welcome to Think for Yourself. So many people believe that when big systems like federalized governance or corporate America get out of hand, or tech or big tech gets out of hand, that there's so little that one individual can do. And I was thinking about that the other day when I thought, you know, I want to share with my listeners a personal story because it really is an indication of what one person can do. When I was in law school, I was older than the average person. I went to law school when I was 33 years old. And so while the professors were generally used to, you know, 22 to 26-year-olds, I was older than the average student, and so I related a little better to some of the professors based upon our closeness in age. And I had a corporations professor. It was a mandatory course. I took it, as did everybody else. And it happened that we both lived near one another, and we were both Jewish, and we both shopped at the same kosher market in Wilmington, Delaware, where I went to law school. And one day I walked into the kosher store and he was there and he said, hello. And I said, hi, Herb, how are you? And I went about my business shopping. His name was Herbert Schlagman. About, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks later, I was called into the dean's office because a complaint had been filed against me by Professor Schlagman. And the complaint alleged that I had performed conduct unbecoming a student, and that he was seeking my removal from the law school. And the conduct specified in the complaint was that I called him by his first name in a classroom setting. And it was totally a fiction. I had never called him anything but Professor or Professor Schlagman in class. And I had definitely called him Herb at the kosher market in Wilmington. But one thing had nothing to do with the other. And I couldn't understand where this was coming from. Initially, I couldn't. I met with the dean and I understood the seriousness of this because I was told that there was going to be a hearing, and the hearing was going to be a panel of 3 professors. There would be testimony and rules of evidence, and depending upon the outcome, I might in fact be terminated as a student at the law school. So I hired a constitutional lawyer who practiced in Wilmington. And the hearing was set for a date certain. But in the interim, I learned some things. The first thing I learned was that there was a student every semester of every year that Professor Schlagman singled out, made a complaint against, either to the student themselves or a formal complaint. And the resolution of that was if the student agreed with the professor to either mow his lawn if it was spring session or shovel his snow if it was winter session, then he would drop the charges. I also learned from other professors, slowly but surely, that he was pretty disliked, but that he had a power-based position, and other professors were kind of afraid to take him on. And so I started getting phone calls at home from other professors saying to me, go for it, you know, stand up, definitely fight him. But they didn't want to come forward on their own. They were being very cowardly, but they were very supportive of me taking on the battle myself, which I was very prepared to do. After all, I had hired, at a cost, a constitutional attorney. So the hearing took place. There was testimony. I called some students as witnesses. I called actually a professor as a witness. He testified himself. He called no other witnesses. And a day later, the panel concluded that although I had done nothing wrong, If I were to give him a public apology in class before the full class, I would be permitted to finish out the semester and get a grade in his class. And upon a reading of the decision by the panel in the room with my attorney present, I said, "There'll be no apology. I did nothing wrong. You've concluded that. There is no reason for me to make a public apology." And so the outcome of that was that I couldn't take the course that semester. I couldn't go back into his class. It caused me to graduate law school 6 months later. I graduated 6 months after everyone in my class. But it also caused me a health problem. When the hearing was over, because the entire experience from day one until the end was a couple of months, I became very ill. And I was out of school for quite a while and wasn't sure I would be able to return. But something else happened in the process. And that was that after the hearing, another professor called me in. He was emeritus there. He was an honorary professor there. His name was Leary. His last name was Leary. He had actually been involved in the drafting of the Uniform Commercial Code, which governs all business in the United States. And he called me into his office and he said to me, "You're going into a profession where we don't turn on our own. So if you will tell me that you will not go public with what happened here, you won't talk to a newspaper, you won't talk to anyone outside the school, I will give you a separate paper to write and I will give you the credits for this semester that you won't get because you can't go back into his classroom to finish the course, and the course is a required course." And I said, "No, thank you, because if I want to speak about this, I will." And several weeks later, that same professor emeritus stopped me in the hallway, and he said to me, "I've been teaching for a long time, and I know future lawyers when I see them. You don't have what it takes. You won't make it as an attorney. You should really look for another profession. It's the advice I want to give you because I think it's advice that you need." And I said, "Thank you. I have a father. And if I want advice, I'll go to him, not you." I graduated law school. I began my own practice right out of law school. I practiced successfully for 15 years. I had an excellent reputation. I was good at what I did. And it's a proud moment in my recollection because everyone got to see that one person can stand up and can make a difference. And I say that because subsequently, I think a year or two later, Professor Schlagman was terminated at the university for reasons that I never got to know, but reasons that were apparently somewhat scandalous from what I learned. And he subsequently went to work for Westlaw, which was a legal research company, and he died. Professor Leary died about a year after the incident or less. About a year after I graduated or less. So they're both dead, and I'm doing the podcast. Now, maybe they'd be dead anyway from the age difference and the years that have passed. But my point is this, and I've mentioned this before in my podcast, there is a sculpture over my desk. And the sculpture says, "I am not afraid. I was born for this." And it's a quote from St. Joan, from Joan of Arc. It's my motto because I believe we are all born for this. And the this is whatever comes up in our lifetimes that asks us to stand for what we believe in, that asks us, regardless of consequences, regardless of the price to be paid, that if something is so intrinsic in our own value system, that we know that it is a pillar and a principle that guides our life, and that becomes challenged by corruption or deception or hostility or the lust for power, whatever it becomes challenged by, it's worth standing for. So I am not afraid of this. I am not afraid I was born for this is an important motto for each of us now. Because I've said this also in a prior podcast. We weren't born to storm the beaches of Normandy. We were born now for a reason, okay? We were born now specifically to handle what's in front of us. And while many of us say, What can I do? I can't take on the federal government. What can I do? I can't take on the IRS. Whatever it is, you can do what I did in law school. It isn't the only instance. I could tell you in other podcasts of other instances where I came up against either corruption or deception or the will to power over another. And I simply said, no, I'm not going around this. I'm not ignoring this. I'm going to stand and take a stand against this corruption or deception or lust for power, whatever it is. Because for me, not only is that the meaning of life, it brings meaning to life. Not that it's the meaning of life, it brings meaning to your life, but it enhances self-esteem and it stands as a beacon. You know, my daughter will tell you, we're very much alike in many ways, different in many ways too, but she's very strong-willed. No one makes her do anything she doesn't want to do. But she will tell you, my mother, she will say, has such a high standard of truth and such a high standard of morality and principles. And I love that she thinks that. And even though that has caused us to clash heads, and even though that has made me a tough mom, she's had a model. She's had a signpost pointing in the right direction for her own life. And that's what we all are. We're all here as beacons of light if we choose to turn that light on. So don't think that your mission is to take on any particular administration, whether it's the Trump administration or the Biden administration. Don't think that's your mission and therefore throw up your hands and say, there's nothing I can do. There's something every day in your own life that you can do, because there's something every day in everyone's life. It can be as tiny as giving somebody back the right change in the market if they've given you the wrong change, if you've used cash. It can be as small as stopping for an animal or a person who needs help. Every day, each one of us is given opportunities to be the best we can be. And certainly every day in the world that we live in, where there is so much corruption and so much deception and so much misinformation and disinformation, that every single day, I assure you, there's an opportunity to stand for truth, to stand for what's right, and to say, yes, I know it will cost me something. Just as it cost me 6 months of my life to graduate later than my class, just like it cost me my health at times as a result of what happened in that experience, for the rest of my life, it has affected my health. And just like it cost me money to hire a constitutional lawyer. But I can sit here today because I did all of that and tell you this story and say, with certainty and pride, there's always something to be done. So figure out what that is in your own life, because that's how the world gets better. That's how we humans elevate our own collective consciousness, is by each one of us picking up the banner and being willing to ride with the banner stamp that says, I am not afraid. I was born for this. Thanks for listening. I'm Carol Gold, and I'll be back here again on Friday. Until then, by all means, think for yourself.
Carol thanks you for spending your valuable time with her. It is her mission to empower you to remember how smart and capable you are. Be sure to check out Carol's website, carolgold.com. That's Carol with an E, gold.com. Please leave a review and subscribe here so you'll be alerted to Carol's next podcast. Until then, above all else, remember, it's time to think for yourself.